Hey everyone, I'm your host Tom Shaughnessy and welcome back to Chain Reaction, a research-driven podcast that's a part of Delphi Digital. If you're not on Delphi's research portal, you're missing out on the critical analysis read by the top minds in the crypto space, so be sure to check it out. One quick housekeeping item, nothing said on this podcast is a solicitation to buy or sell any security or token or to make any financial decisions. I may personally hold tokens mentioned on the podcast, and you can view our show notes below for our complete disclosures. With that, let's jump into the episode. Hey everyone, welcome back to the podcast. Today I'm with my co-host Piers Kicks, and we have Jess Sloss, who's instigator at C Club, and Cooper Turley, who has quite the CV, but he also mainly does crypto strategy at Audius. He's a social token manager, he's a contributor to Defiant. I'm so really amped to have you guys on to talk about your social token posts. How's it going, guys?
Doing well, man.
Good. Thanks for having us.
Cool. So what was the impetus to write a social token year in review? Whose idea was it?
Good question, Jess. Do you remember who teed it up, that idea? I think it was Carlos, huh?
Yeah, I think so. So we have a really active group chat around C Club, and I think just a lot of these ideas sort of just emerge from somebody throwing something in that chat, and I think Cooper took it by the horns and turned into this collaboration between Cooper, some people, and Carlos from Forefront.
Yeah, I think, you know, on my end, I saw this opportunity to basically recap all the stuff we had been talking about. You know, I think at the end of the year, everyone's looking for a recap, year in review, et cetera, et cetera. Rather than focus on a specific project, I wanted to take a step back and be like, social tokens are still small enough that I feel like we can really give an overview on the entire industry and ecosystem. You know, I think everyone was expecting there to be a DeFi year in review, but I don't think anyone saw social token year in review coming. So on my mind, it kind of was a way to categorize everything that's happening and give a little bit more legitimacy to all the stuff that I know that Jess and I are really passionate about.
So how did social tokens get their start? Like, I mean, I feel like there's been a lot of waves here and there, you know, some people are tokenizing their time and other people are tokenizing other things, but I feel like it's just like bubbling up a little bit from everywhere. Like, what was the social token push?
I mean, I think there's like a history that even comes before what we talked about on the year in review that I think, you know, it sort of stems out of like the founding of Ethereum and this idea of being able to tokenize individuals or have individual tokens. And I don't think we get into the detail there in the report, but some of the earliest examples are, yeah, people tokenizing their time, Matthew Vernon, or what Peter had done with his magic token. Really clear use cases where somebody is, you know, buying a token to, you know, get access to some sort of service or privilege from a person.
Yeah, and I'll add on to that, that I think adding a financial value to social capital is something that's pretty unique to crypto. You know, like we can basically tokenize any asset or any category of service. And I think that this sector particularly was kind of taking a step back from a deeply financial DeFi type scenario to more like, hey, I'm either a human or a community or a brand, and I want to sort of put a financial value behind my services. And this felt like a good way to do that in a new and exciting way.
Yeah, it's interesting. I guess the question is like, what's the most prominent social token you think that's launched? Like in your post, you guys share a lot. Like Peter Pan made the magic token to share his time. You have Connie Digital social tokens kind of with Hue token. There's a lot of them. Like what's the most prominent in your guys' mind? And obviously they're all kind of different.
Yeah, I mean, I think the largest is Whale, which is sort of like a, you know, sort of as a basket of NFTs. So Whale Shark Pro tokenized, you know, launched a social token that represented this vault, essentially a growing vault of NFTs, but it really spun into multiple associated communities. They sort of used those tokens as a way of incentivizing or sparking new communities alongside it. So the Work in Progress podcast and community and sort of metaverse experience is one of those derivatives. And I think that's, you know, just from a market cap standpoint is the largest. But there's also, you know, a lot of really interesting communities that are, I think, are really gaining traction and are focused much more on the community dynamics. So this idea of wanting to be in there and getting a lot of value of being a part of the community versus just a token price, which I think is sort of like one of the big themes you'll see emerge in the space. It's just how we balance off those two. Like what's a good way of measuring success in the space? Is it just market cap, or is it like some other measure? And I think most of us are leaning towards it being, you know, a mix of that, but some other measure being important. And so I think one of the communities that I'm you know, most excited to be a part of is what the Friends with Benefits community is doing, where there's, you know, every single time I go back into that Discord, there's you know, a ton of new comments on every single new channel and a bunch of insight there that I just couldn't get anywhere else. And I feel like I'm a part of this thing that just gives me access and new ideas in a way that, you know, maybe the internet did or Twitter did in the early days, but isn't quite the same right now. And I know Cooper is deeply involved with Friends with Benefits, so interested in what his thoughts are.
Yeah, to answer that question, I think that word prominent is really interesting. I'd probably say the answer to that would be RAC token. And obviously I'm biased on this because I'm involved with the project, but when I think of social tokens, I think of what is sort of a stamp of approval from a mainstream lens. You know, RAC being a Grammy award-winning musician, him sort of leaning into this space and showing that a musician can embody Web3 and sort of align their community felt really big to me. I think it's kind of the start of like this wave of influencers, high profile individuals, communities sort of leaning into social tokens. So that specific event felt like it had the most impact for the space this year. Beyond that, I would really echo Jess's point that the most interesting social tokens are the ones that have really vibrant communities, right? So FWB and Whale specifically, those Discords were incredibly active and still are active today. And I think that the token played a big role in that. And so like you can kind of think of social tokens both as from a vanity side of things. You know, there are big names getting involved with social tokens, but on a more deep level, I think that these community-based tokens where there's people that are interacting every day and they might not be shilling the token, but they use that community as sort of a foundation or a home for themselves are kind of the ones that I've found the most value out of personally.
Definitely agree with what you suggest there. Been super impressed, obviously, with the evolution of Whale and sort of, as you say, sort of how active it remains now. Obviously, there's all kinds of sort of initiatives within that community. I originally found it pretty crazy, you know, looking at the actual value, obviously non-fungible sort of value, the Whale Vault, looking at the premium that the actual token trades at versus what's supposedly the binding instrument, right? The actual purpose for it. But you quickly realize that there's all of the sort of communal aspect on top of it, which gives it great value. And once they've established that kind of user base, it's really awesome to then see them kind of cross-pollinate with others. The RNG example was a really cool one where we had the massive tidal wave of Whale users came into, nearly called them losers then, my bad, of Whale users came into the RNG Discord. And it was cool to see that kind of tsunami happen.
Mm. Yeah, I totally agree. And I think to your point about the NFT origins of Whale, I think that played a huge role in why that community has been so successful. You know, when we think about crypto and sort of the different subcultures, the NFT one is one that's very deeply intertwined. And I know that specifically with Discord, that's a native platform, basically all these users. So them having something to rally around like a token, the success of that, I think, was largely intertwined with sort of the culture that was being focused on for that community specifically.
So I was just going to really quickly add there that, you know, you mentioned that it is sort of built into the Discord there. I mean, having spoken to Whale Shark, and that was kind of one of the core reasons that they went for sort of actually building everything right into the Discord. Obviously, we have all these tools to do so now, but you know, the rationale behind that being not wanting to kind of fracture the user base across different interfaces and stuff early on. I think, you know, the success of that project is a real testament to that. And we have all of these cool integrations now across Discord, which are really exciting.
Guys, quick question for you on Whale, for anyone here. I mean, how do you break down or bifurcate the difference between a social token and like a DeFi token, right? Because if I look at Whale through a DeFi lens, you know, hey, if I own the token, I have a claim on a balance sheet of assets, right? But if I look at it through a social token lens, hey, you know, it's, you know, a vault that has a ton of assets. There's so much community involvement. Does it just like, how do you decide between the two classifications there?
And for me, the core is, you know, what is the thing that we have tokenized first? And, you know, Whale might be a unique example, but if we go down sort of the list of the other sort of 20 or so projects we listed in the report or a list on Forefront, there's a lot more of the social capital that's being pooled or being leveraged to spark a community. And, you know, I think there's sort of a natural tendency, or at least most of these will communities kind of start to look kind of like DAOs. And as more infrastructure builds out, there'll be a lot more like on-chain type revenues and more, I mean, fundamental ways of analyzing the value here. And so I think it's sort of like, where did it come from? What was the initial intention? And we've yet to sort of see the final evolution of these things. And I would expect you're going to see a big, you know, mashup of DeFi tooling, you know, interesting community integrations, great storytelling and these, you know, fungible tokens.
Yeah, I don't think that they are mutually exclusive. I think the best social tokens will have DeFi characteristics in the terms of cash flows, as Jess alluded to. I think how you can sort of distinguish is that for social tokens, the primary use cases are social in nature. Like the first thing you tell people about is this token's used to join a Discord. This token's used to get exclusive benefits or get discounts on merch. And that's drastically different from like a governance token in DeFi, where it's like, hey, you're governing this big protocol that has a lot of moving pieces technically. Has cash flows and different treasuries and stuff like that. And it feels a little bit more human in nature. You know, it's not to say that DeFi tokens aren't human, but I think that social token specifically, it's kind of starting with the focus on the individual rather than like the whole protocol or technical aspects of the project.
Yeah, that's a great answer. Definitely makes sense to kind of bifurcate like community and social tokens from DeFi tokens. And one more question on that point. What are the differences between a social token that's for one person, say like if RAC made a token, versus like the Whale token or the Friends with Benefits? It seems like there's a dichotomy between, you know, having your own social token and having like a community social token.
I mean, we use the language of personal token versus community token. And I think maybe the best example is what Alex did with his sort of ISA-esque token, you know, selling some future revenues. And what RSC is doing, like I think he's sort of maybe in the middle where there's definitely this individual who has a bunch of social capital, but it really is the community around him that is like the experience. And then, you know, maybe on the far side where community is first is like Friends with Benefits or RNG. So there's, I think, easy categorizations at the high level, but really quickly the tendency here is for these tokens to sort of coalesce a community around them and the value to really be generated through the, you know, the cooperation, co-creation between community and individual.
Totally. There's this great post that Mason Nystrom from Asari put out sort of talking about the dichotomy of social tokens. And a point that he made that I really liked is that most social tokens start as a personal token and become a community token. There needs to be a strong leader for them to be successful. And even if it starts around a single creator, you know, the end state of these and where they become successful is when it ends up being owned by the community. So, you know, I think there's an opportunity for a lot of creators to make something very light that's centered around them. And in the event they want to take that into something more serious, empowering their community and empowering the moderators to give more responsibilities feels like a nice way to sort of bridge that gap and make it more community in nature.
Yeah, that's awesome. That makes a lot of sense. And how exactly do the social tokens get out there? Like in your post, you guys share a lot on issuers. Like you have Roll, you have Rally. I'm not sure what all the differences are between them, but like, what's the difference between launching a social token and, you know, yield farming a DeFi token and it eventually getting just listed on Uniswap?
This is a great question because I think it's really important to highlight that issuance is different from distribution. Those projects that you mentioned, they solely mint the token for you. They have tools to allow you to get it out there, but that's really on the creator to decide how they issue it to their community. What I've seen work well on this front is airdrops, you know, the oldest trick in the book for crypto. Someone completes an action, they get tokens in return. What we're seeing now that's more interesting, I think, is doing active participation. So using tools like SourceCred, you can basically reward people for their on-chain or offline contributions and basically say, hey, if you come to Discord every day, if you show up to our community calls, if you vote on governance, there's a way that we can give you tokens for doing very human tasks. And I think that the more granular you get about the creative ways in which a community member engages with that creator, that feels like a good, you know, recipe for effective distribution.
Yeah, around that point of, you know, issuance and distribution being different things. One of the projects I think you guys definitely touched upon was Unite. That's looking really cool. You know, Alex speaks of, you know, the idea of kind of effectively doing a vampire attack on the sort of Web2 social graph for some of these platforms where, you know, actually just interacting with a tweet through a retweet or whatever can actually serve as the, you know, function around which tokens are distributed, and you can start to port your audiences from these existing platforms into a token community and from there coordinate them. It's a really cool concept. I'm excited to see how all of that stuff evolves.
I mean, I think like yeah, Alex and those guys are great. I think that's sort of like the, if you think about the big promise or excitement around social tokens, it's this idea that there's a whole bunch of people out there that have a lot of authority and influence that can start to introduce, you know, crypto or tokens to a more mainstream user base. And the idea of a vampire attack, whether that's done through a tool like Unite or, you know, today we saw Portugal the Man, which is a, you know, an indie band, I guess, out of the US, launch a token on Rally. And it was sort of as simple as posting a video on their YouTube channel and on their Twitter account and on their Instagram. And all of a sudden there's this like, you know, a very active Discord community that has popped up overnight, essentially. So I think it just sort of shows the absolute power, both of like the frustration these creators are feeling with, you know, being locked into and creating value for platforms like Facebook and Instagram, and really not being able to capture any of that value within the platforms, which I think is like the spark for many of these folks, but then also just the ability to, you know, hold their network into a new place that's owned by them. And so I think that's the thing I'm watching really closely, especially this week, is to see the, you know, like what do those numbers look like? What impact does that have on their token price? How are people responding to the narrative that these artists are putting out there? Because I think it's just an absolutely huge opportunity.
Yeah, Cooper, you brought up a really good point before too about like community management and kind of rewarding people. Do you think that we'll get to a point where like community management's really hard in crypto? Like you have the founders spending 70% of their time on Discord and responding to things. Is there a way that we can use social tokens to reward people for automating those tasks? And then, you know, if they have a certain amount, then they unlock new features, like, you know, can't throw a Wi-Fi governance proposal unless you're X level. Like, is that a dumb way to think about it? Or do you think a lot of that could be automated?
I think this is exactly where it's headed. You know, I think the way that I think about social tokens is how do you create social graphs where people are more empowered to do specific things in that community? You know, to the testament of community managers, this is similar to what moderators are on Twitch, right? It's basically an overly active community member. They're doing a great job. The creator recognizes them and they lift them up to start steward that conversation. You know, what's cool about social tokens is that community managers can have a more direct role in the distribution of tokens. They can have more direct role in sort of stewarding and pointing conversations in the way that they see fit. And most importantly, you know, they can feel like they're actually part of the core team. And I think that this is something that shares a lot of values with DeFi right now, is that with community tokens, there is no team and community. It's one and the same. You know, a community manager is a part of the core team and they're also an active member in that community. And the more that you lean into that and sort of the more power that you give those managers, I think that this is where I've seen it be successful, because it's people other than the creator that actually feel like they have the power to make a meaningful change.
Yeah, that's awesome. If I was on the outside, just looking at Wi-Fi for the first time, I would have no difference. I wouldn't know the difference between Bantag and, you know, Contributor 13. But if they had some reputation or social token included there, it might be easier to kind of judge that from the outside.
Totally.
Piers, it would be interesting to get your thoughts kind of on gaming and kind of you're so in the mist there. Like, do you think that this is viable from a gaming perspective for creators and, you know, popular gamers, or what are your thoughts there?
Yeah, I actually do. And I'm looking forward to some big in-game guilds, perhaps from traditional games, not necessarily blockchain games, you know, big World of Warcraft or RuneScape clan or something, trying to take advantage of this. Because again, it's just a really cool way to A, sort of bind and then B, kind of coordinate a community in an interesting way. Whether, you know, there's an upcoming raid and whoever's, you know, fulfilled a certain function within the week, or whoever's been performing desirable activities amongst the community, they might qualify to be lent, you know, out of the clan's sort of war chest, the, I don't know, some special sword of some nondescript sword. But yeah, I'm really excited to see where it goes with that. But I mean, I haven't seen too much activity around that side of things just yet. I mean, despite what a crazy year sort of last year was for all of this stuff, we still are, you know, obviously still right at the front of it. Still super early days, but yeah, that's definitely a use case that I'm keeping an eye on.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome, man. It'll be exciting. Sorry, Cooper.
I'd call out, there's a project called Vanish. They're an esports community that launched a creator coin on Rally. I think that using a social token to align an organization is really interesting. And something that Piers pointed out that I think is fascinating. Last year, we ran this experiment called MetaClan, which was an esports gaming DAO. And I think that the relationship between a DAO and a social token is like more or less one in the same. You know, I think that we were almost too early in the sense of trying to make everything really Web3 and making it a DAO and sort of pulling capital. Whereas I actually think that just having a token that's fungible and people can sort of like align with one another serves like most of the purposes that a DAO does without like a lot of the overhead of having to do proposals and voting on chain. So it's definitely evolved my thinking around like, how do you get people to coordinate in a way that doesn't feel too heavy on a technical side of things?
Yeah, I think that's an excellent point. I think I would both agree that upon reflection with MetaClan, we were perhaps over-equipped to begin with there for what we were trying to do. So yeah, I definitely think there's that middle ground, that sweet spot that you know, these social tokens could occupy.
Jess, you mentioned before just hitting the traditional world with this, and any artist, any creator being able to use their likeness, you know, outside of a brand, it's kind of right up Cooper's alley with what he's doing at Audius. But I'd love to hear your thoughts as well on this. You know, do you think that this will actually be used in mass by the traditional world, artists, gamers, you know, pro athletes, things like that? Or is that maybe too much of a stretch for social tokens?
I think it's inevitable in some way, and probably just a matter of time. I think we're in the middle beginnings of like the shift away from Web 2. Like the idea of all of us yelling in the middle of the street on Facebook or on Twitter is kind of a weird thing, or will look like a weird thing, as you know, in the future. We're sort of seeing this, coalescing around smaller groups. C Club's an example of that. You know, all these social tokens we're talking about, it's an example of that. These influencer communities are examples of that as well. And so I think this idea of smaller groups of people coming together and being able to leverage a financial asset to invest in the growth, to align efforts, is just like going to be a fundamental shift in the types of businesses we build online and the ways that creators create and capture value. So do I think that's going to happen soon? No. I mean, I think the biggest names that have come in to do social tokens are so far probably the worst examples of good social tokens, at least in the early days. And our focus at C Club is really on trying to work with crypto focused creator communities, figure out the more challenging parts so that we don't have to spend the time and worrying about onboarding and MetaMask and all these other things that are just sort of the general barriers to adoption of crypto. And we can focus in on like figuring out the templates that will eventually make it really easy for a creator to come in and you know, launch a social token. You know, there's worlds where most of these are done on specific platforms, perhaps. Like, you know, you could really see an OnlyFans-esque platform developing and having tokens built in, a Substack style platform with tokens built in. But I think there's also a really unique opportunity here for creators to really own the thing that their fans congregate around, and that being just, you know, an ERC-20 token that can, you know, be used and plugged into various different platforms. So I think that's sort of like we're going to see an interesting dance between platforms and sort of more open use cases.
I totally agree with that. I think this year we're going to see the first wave of viral creators issuing social tokens. I think Jess's point is really important, that so far we've seen Lil Yachty and Lil Pump make social token, but I think that's about the opposite of what we personally feel like is valuable about social tokens. So I think there's an important difference between notoriety. Like I said before, there's going to be big names that do this. I think there's going to be a small fraction of them that are actually doing it in a meaningful way. And so I know what Jess and I are both concerned about is like, what are the standards to do this effectively? And how do you do everything to show there's value beyond this community outside of the price tag? I think when you start looking at success as a metric of funds raised or as the price of a token, you get into some really dangerous territory.
Yeah, no, that's a fair point. You definitely don't want to be too cognizant of price as the deciding factor, because that might just be awkward and biased. You guys have a social tokens map on your post, and there's a lot of different ways you can create social tokens. You have personal, music, art tokens, et cetera. One of the interesting ones you guys have is culture. Like swag token, FWB, robot, 1337. It's kind of weird because when we interact with main brands today, like if I get a Supreme thing, like I'm just using what they're giving me, like the culture that they put out, I'm wearing. In this aspect, it seems like people will instead be able to shape brands themselves. Do you think we're ready for that, or is that the goal?
Totally. I think we're ready for it. I think collective collaboration is really, really fascinating. You know, like I think for the first time in history, we can actually create products and services in like a group manner and not have to worry about a small subset of two people making all the decisions. So, you know, I think culture is incredibly valuable. Up until now, we haven't really had a way to capture its upside or to place a financial value on it. So I think that this idea of social tokens is like the first step in that direction.
They're going to be this sort of new emergent type of culture and brand, right? So I think within the social token space, it's really easy to look at what's happening already and see how you can plug a token into it. But I think really like the biggest wins and most interesting projects are going to be ones that sort of emerge from the primitives and templates and communities that are native to crypto. So I think like, what do we create when we give people the opportunity to both participate, own, and sort of have a variety of credibility or say within a community. And as we're creating merch or we're creating new fashion items or You know, even if you think of something like, you know, async art, where you have this like multiple layers of art, and there's this dynamic where you're, you know, the artist is creating something, but how the community and individuals interact with it also has an impact on it. So that's kind of what I'm paying attention to, is where not plugging tokens into existing brands. So I think we'll see that as well, but more like what interesting brands emerge from these token interactions.
I completely agree with the sort of angle of attack there. You know, the focus on trying to define and stress test some of these cooler models in the sort of closer to the crypto space to begin with. What are some of the kind of perhaps non-obvious or a little bit unique examples of this that are either here that maybe don't have such so much light cast on them yet, or you think are maybe coming in the pipeline?
Yeah, I would love to shine some light on this project called MetaFactory. In the culture section, it's the token robot. They're basically using this token to allow holders to signal to different merchandise they want to have produced. So it's called a curation game, where you take the tokens, an artist presents an idea, and once it reaches a certain threshold of people staking to it, that item actually gets produced and put into the world. And I think these notions of being able to allow people to be like very signal oriented to what they want to see built and sharing the upside of those products feels like a really positive flywheel that I'm really excited to watch pan out.
I think you got me. You cat tipped me to the Wi-Fi hoodie, Cooper. I think that was MetaFactory, right?
Yeah. And I'm not sure if you knew, but you got a retroactive airdrop for buying that. That ended up being pretty favorable for the purchase of that hoodie too.
It's cool, man. No, it's interesting. And I guess for you guys, what was the biggest ape social token that you guys have aped into? Like, if it's just to support your friends and creators, that's also fine. You know, we're early, but was there one that stood out that you said, you know, damn, I'm buying as much of this as I can right now?
Jess, go first. I'm happy to take it first if you'd like to.
Sure, go for it.
Yeah, so I think it's important that Jess and I are both in service like roles in some degree, right? So there's a separation between us getting compensated for our work we're doing in these communities and us aping into them as like an investment perspective. I think for me, the ones that I would say I've aped into the hardest would probably be FWB before I joined in a formal capacity. Some of the early examples of personal tokens, so both Alex and Kerman's tokens when it was a really new thing. The early days of Jam, when there was a lot of conversation around community, collective contributions. You know, honestly, like all of these, I remember for the Whale Discord reacting to an emote in Whale's Discord and getting $100 worth of tokens, being like, okay, wow, this is fucking incredible. And then just eating in like multiple ETH into the project before I even looked any further than that. So, you know, I think like that launch event and getting people to just like make some buzz around it was enough for me to just be like, YOLO, like I'm doubling down on this. Let's see what happens.
There was something about those drops too, where it was like, you know, you have 60 seconds to click this emote, and just seeing an entire server with a few thousand people spamming a button in front of you is pretty entertaining. That was pretty good fun.
Plus one.
Yeah, the RNG Discord was like that as well in some of the early airdrops. It's just that, and that's something that Connie, who has the Hue token, talked about in his early days when he would sort of launch new NFTs within his CryptoVoxels parcel. And you just see this like, you know, CryptoVoxels being dead, and then all of a sudden thousands of people sort of rushing in and this token being like a driving factor behind it. You know, to answer your question, Tom, I think the way that I've aped in is into the space generally. And I think it's with, you know, my time and effort more than anything, though I definitely do hold, you know, a wide selection of these tokens. I think that we're just so early that, you know, the early projects are, you know, great examples, and yet the best is still to come. And so the, you know, the whole idea behind C Club was just, how do we, you know, C Club's a social token incubator. So we're looking to, it sort of started with this idea that there are many more questions than there are answers on how to do this right. And so the way that we get to clarity there is by bringing a whole bunch of smart people together. So Cooper is one of those, and creators who are looking to launch these tokens and learn alongside them. And so to me, the, you know, Seed Club is the thing I've aped into, which is in many ways just an index on the space, I think. And we're really just trying to create a way for other creators to come in and to expand, just the, you know, to reduce whale dominance in some way, maybe, right? Like there's just so many more opportunities here than what we have on the table right now.
Yeah, I'd also call out Rally's doing this really interesting program called Creator Mining, I believe is how they're defining it. But basically the creators on their platform are getting weekly rewards for the amount of volume they drive back to their tokens. So I wouldn't call it aping as much as it is just sort of watching that game and participating in the way that I can. But there's some really cool APY DeFi-like instruments being applied to the expansion and distribution of creators. And so I know Jess and I have been spending some time being like, who are the best creators on this Rally platform? Like, who's actually taking this coin seriously? And how do we put our tokens to work to further empower them and sort of participate in this nice incentive program they've designed?
That's awesome. And are you guys at all concerned that, you know, everything we have in crypto today, you have a token, it's on a protocol, anybody can kind of step in from the community and pick up the slack if somebody leaves. Is there any concern that, you know, you might get some popular social tokens, then, you know, the human person might just say, you know, screw it, I'm done. I'm going to an island somewhere and I don't care about the value, and the, you know, the token crashes. Like, the risk here is really human in nature, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think this is really, really important. And I totally think that more so than a DeFi project, if the creator leaves the project, you know, that's going to be very difficult for it to remain sustainable. I think there's a big reliance on someone they launch a social token to recognize this isn't an ephemeral event. This is a long-term thing. That's kind of why I've been delicate about who I tell to launch these, because it's fascinating and it's really cool and exciting. But I think that people sort of sometimes underestimate the scope and nature at which they need to be ready to participate for long periods of time if they want this to be remotely viable in the long term.
Universally, people underestimate that point, like how weird it is to have a token that represents your creative output, right? Like, across the board, if you talk to people who've launched social tokens, the emotional aspect of having a price related to your creation is, they've always undervalued the, you know, the impact that will have. So yeah, I think one of the first conversations I have with anybody who wants to launch a token is like, do you really want to launch a token? And so I think there's also going to be interesting norms that I think emerge from this. And I think you can sort of see it in what Alex is doing, or even what Kerman has done. You know, there's some of the earliest social tokens. And, you know, ultimately what that's turned into is a bet on them as human beings and any future project they do, because there's this assumption that they will, you know, token holders will get some sort of access to future token drops they may do for new projects, etc. So it's turned to this, like, I'm betting on the individual versus I'm betting on a specific company. And I think that's, you know, the way to look at the relationship between most creators and their token holders, or how token holders should look at creators. Like, are they committed to this work? Are they going to continue to create this work? And, you know, I think the incentives are really aligned for Alex to do something like that, because he has this really hardcore community of people who just want to see him succeed. And of course, he'd want to bring them along to this next thing. And I also think there's sort of interesting ideas. Friends with Benefits, for example, is playing around with this idea of seasons. And so you can imagine there being tokens that exist for a specific reason and then are sunset and maybe transferred into some other project or you know, next version. So I think we're going to see some, you know, unfortunate situations where people leave a project and that project sort of goes dormant or disappears. But I also think on the flip side, some of the more interesting projects that I would love to see launch are, you know, fan club tokens that are based around a creator where the creator is not even involved in the project, right? So I think there's a huge design space that's going to emerge here.
I'm curious how you guys think about the whole sort of securities aspect of these things as well. I mean, obviously, in a lot of these instances, one might argue that there's a fine line being walked. I know there are ways to kind of mitigate liability there around, you know, what exactly the token's used for, and also how you acquire it, you know, earned versus bought and whatnot. But yeah, I'd be curious to get your thoughts around that component of things, because that strikes me as a material friction point that some mainstream creators, you know, would likely have to pay attention to.
Totally. I think you hit the nail on the head when you said earned versus bought, right? When you issue your token, are you doing a sale around it? Short answer, don't do a sale around your social token. I mean, like, it's obvious you're not going to raise meaningful amounts of capital. I think there's opportunity to bring capital on board once you've established the utility and sort of the centralization of the project. But if you lean into your social token with the sale as the primary thing that's interesting, on a legal side, you're setting yourself up for disaster. And sort of on a more important side, you know, the precedent you're setting by selling the token as the launch thing, it's going to invite speculators. So, you know, I think there's a lot to be said about, like, just don't sell your social token, like, get it out there in the ways that you can and, like, create value meaningfully instead of trying to assign a price tag out of the gate.
Is there anyone in crypto that you guys would like to see launch a token? Like, you know, Andre or Vitalik's of the world, like, is there anyone specific who you think would be a really good fit in crypto right now to launch a token that hasn't?
I think for me, it's these NFT artists, honestly. Like, I think that there's unique creators that are coming about that are shining in a digital world. And I think that the obvious answer for social tokens is, like, musicians and DJs and people who have all this clout on Instagram. But, you know, I'm starting to look more into these more, like, niche specific creators, like Corpse Husband of the world, right? Like, YouTube people that have huge communities but don't have, like, any public presence. And I think that creators that have increasingly bigger digital brands, you know, Mr. Beast being a great example. These are the type of people that I think that would do really, really well with the social token if done right.
For me, it's the like the pooling of social capital from multiple influencers that would be the most interesting thing. Like, I think this idea of creating a collective or a cooperative around whether it's, you know, the emergence of a new type of music label or it's, you know, a series of YouTube influencers that are coming together. It's this pooling of social capital from those who have it that's the most interesting. And I think, you know, C Club is an example of that as well, where we have a bunch of people just came together and led sort of credence to the project. And we've kind of had something that emerged from that. And I think we're going to see that, you know, across the spectrum from, you know, OnlyFans creators or adult entertainers to gamers to YouTubers. And even to people who maybe don't have like a whole lot of social capital to start with, but who are able to, you know, come together to launch something. And I think, you know, the post from the other internet guys around squad wealth is just like the guiding light here. If you see the power of small groups collaborating and throwing an asset in the middle of that that can be, you know, held and used to incentivize a broader group of people to work towards a goal, I think that's probably where we're going to see like the biggest wins with long-term success, in my opinion.
Totally agree.
How do you guys envision like tracking that, right? Like, I'll give you an example. Like, let's say Eric Voorhees had a social token for some reason. I don't really care if Eric Voorhees tweets about my project to help me out, but, you know, I really want his advice for 30 minutes on a Friday night where nobody really knows the value of that, but like I do. Like, is there an issue with like attributing value from other people to these tokens when a lot of the value is more qualitative than trackable metric wise?
Good point. It's something I put a lot of thought into because there's a project I was working on to design time tokens, where basically it was a social token, but the only utility was to redeem it for time. And I think there's a big difference between like service-based tokens, like you mentioned, redeeming for an hour of time versus a more broad set community token. I don't think that there's any reason a community token couldn't be used for time, but as we see with anything, when you try and peg a volatile currency to a stable value, it becomes increasingly difficult. And I think that you invite speculators to basically just, you know, assign obscene values to these things that like a 30-minute call shouldn't cost $1,000. But if Eric Voorhees had a token and he tried to peg 30 minutes of his time to a token, it would very quickly become that. And so I think that's kind of why it's interesting to consider, you know, the separation between like a fungible community token versus something that may be non-fungible and you can burn it to redeem an hour of time, but isn't like on a secondary market and tradable amongst other people.
Yeah, it's an awesome answer. That's cool. Piers, what else are you thinking? I'm just thinking through ideas. There's a lot to unpack here.
You touched upon Mr. Beast earlier. But you know, he put out that tweet recently being like, damn, I wish there was a way to invest in creators. You know, he said the stock market sucks, I don't understand anything about it, whatever. And clearly that sentiment was shared by a crazy amount of people. So we know that the demand for this kind of stuff's there, but yeah, I did want to ask you guys, if Mr. Beast turns around in 2 months and says, screw it, let's do this, where does he go? What does he do? I know you said you're trying to stress test these models and figure out the right formulas. Is it still too early? Or do you think, you know, between you two, you could accommodate him?
Mr. Beast, if you want to launch a social token, Cooper and I are here for you. We have the network and the tools that'll make that a great success. Yeah, I mean, I think like the template that works right now, generally, people come to the table when I have conversations with creators who are like at least turned on to social tokens. They have all these ideas of what they want to do and complex incentive mechanisms. And the first advice I give is just, you know, chill. You got to chill out here a little bit. The reality is, you know, starting small and growing from there, or, you know, as Brian Flynn calls it, this idea of lean token design, I think is essential in this space. And so, you know, I think the example to look at is what, again, Portugal the Man is doing with the Rally community today. It's creating gated access to some community and allowing people to choose to be a part of it or to not be a part of it. And then, you know, looking at interesting ways of distributing tokens to that existing community in a way that's relevant and sets the community up for success. And all the other interesting things, I think, should be emergent properties of the initial dynamics that you set within these communities.
Yeah, I probably add into there that if someone like Mr. Beast were to launch a social token, I probably wouldn't point them to an existing platform today. I'd tell them to build out a development team and to do everything in-house themselves. I think that a lot of these platforms are set up to be really generalized, which is great for a new creator that's just trying to test the waters. but it's not set up well to cater for someone like Mr. Beast that has, you know, the caliber and momentum to create like literally a whole universe around their brand.
Yeah, I think that's a great point and kind of observe parallels across different verticals in crypto. You know, we sit around sort of generalized governance platforms where a lot of teams think, you know, it's such a critical piece of infrastructure, they'd rather build it themselves. We've kind of, you know, an Axie in the game space with their sort of layer two scaling thing. There is this slight tension between generalized versus specialized. And I definitely think as and when companies or creators or brands or whatever come in that do have the firepower to build that custom stack, I think it does make sense. Yeah. We'll see. Maybe that's next after Mr. Beast Burger or whatever it was.
Yeah, I think that's so important that we're, you know, if you look at the existing communities, they were sort of like platforms or tools came first and then these communities kind of hopped onto them. And I think right now we're in this place where these communities and creators are actually pulling platforms forward. And so in my mind, like the best things that we can see, like what RAC and Zora did there, and they built some really interesting tooling around how to retroactively reward community members, right? That's big. We need to, you know, those sort of use cases are what are going to lead to the more generalizable tools that'll then make these templates accessible to much more, you know, less well-capitalized creators, which I think is, you know, where a lot of this growth is going to come from. So I think to me, maybe that would be the most exciting thing. You know, it's not the price that Mr. Beast would be able to get from, you know, being able to buy his token, but it's really like, what are the tools? And the guy's just a genius in engaging his audience. So you just imagine the types of things that could come out from that if you put a bit of a DeFi lens and, you know, it's interesting NFT lens and mix and with the big community. It'd be pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'd be really cool. And guys, one closing question for me and Piers, I'll leave it to you after, is just when we get the crypto people to have their own social tokens, like the top developers, the top community managers, biz dev people, do you think that will lead to more collaboration or more competition in the space? Because I'm wondering, if I'm a top tier Ethereum dev, but I'm not really in Ethereum, I'm Tom, you know, does that mean that I work on more projects and I'm not married to one? Or does that mean I'm, you know, more competitive and I stick to my Ethereum roots? Like, just wondering where social tokens fit in on a work level for crypto people.
Fascinating question. My immediate answer here would be that, I think it makes sense that top talented people eventually become their own brand and ecosystem. Like, I think that it's going to be a transition between when it becomes competitive and when it just is a natural fit in the world. I think these early adopters will naturally get a lot more attention to themselves. So they'll at least have the flexibility to go where they want. But I'm hoping, and this is what we've seen with social tokens today, you know, the early adopters are really collaborative. Like in FWB, we're constantly talking with people in Jam. We're constantly working across other projects and sort of sharing ideas and whatnot. And so I really hope that as a space, we can sort of hold this composability notion that makes DeFi so powerful and sort of build with that lens where everything we build as far as tools, as products get shared with other people. And then you kind of offer ways for members of other communities to come into yours and be invited and welcomed rather than sort of shun and there being all this infighting that kind of makes crypto toxic at times.
I love that.
Yeah, I was then going to ask around, you know, your report touches upon Marguerite and her project, Project Coin, which is really cool in that it kind of lies at the intersection of DeFi NFTs and social tokens. How do you guys think about the synergy of all of those components? You know, obviously for some use cases and some creators, like just either or one of the three is probably more appropriate. But again, I mean, just elaborating on your point there around, you know, the kind of composability of it and making sure these like Lego pieces can be played with. Do you think that some really exciting stuff lies in the fusion of all three, or do you think, you know, it's unnecessary to try and force the overlap between those things? You know, some people aren't that crazy about the idea of NFT farming, for example. They think it's like unnecessary friction, but curious to get your thoughts there.
I think it's the answer to both your questions is yes. Like there's a ton of really interesting things that emerge there. And also it's really important not to force it. And so I think like the big win for social tokens is when these communities are actually able to really collaborate and create some sort of, you know, on-chain value, right? So cash flow, you know, Meme is probably a really great example of this, where they've designed an economy where, you know, there's a ton of value in curation and you're staking tokens to earn points that give you access to these really interesting NFTs. And, you know, I'm really, really, really focused and interested in figuring out how these templates emerge and making those templates, you know, accessible or at least known to creators so they have these building blocks to play around with. And, you know, I think the idea of how you reward value within a community or how you create value within a community are these huge boxes that are just fascinating to get into when you start thinking about where we're at today and where we might go, even just given the tools that exist in DeFi or in NFTs right now. So really, really exciting, I think, to watch.
Totally. I think this notion of putting your capital to work to earn something in return is synonymous across all community tokens. You know, you stake a token somewhere, you get something that's unique to that community. Fantastic premise. I think that everyone will build on that. What I learned from the coin experiment was the more building blocks you tie together, the deeper the education is required for people to participate. So like, I think we had some really amazing ideas there for NFT farming, fractionalized ownership, stuff that's really ahead of its time. But the complexity that comes with the tools that are out there today and tying them together in a very intuitive way is really difficult. And so, you know, back to the Mr. Beast point, I think that where this becomes successful is when people design ecosystems that have like very niche specific programs and use cases that are like very, very easy to grasp. I don't think that it's the typical like deposit liquidity on Uniswap, stake that liquidity position into an NFT farm and then fractionalize ownership of that NFT to bid and win that piece. Like all those ideas are really cool in and of itself, but you know, we need to take a step back and be like, what is someone who has $10 of these tokens able to do that feels unique to them and also sort of highlights what's cool about crypto?
Yeah, I think that's a great answer. Definitely think some of that stuff could probably be pretty alienating as it stands. Tom, did you want to jump in?
No, I just cognizant on time, guys. This was like an incredible podcast. Jess, let's start with you. Plug what you're working on. And then after that, Cooper, you're up.
Right on. Yeah. So C Club is a social token incubator. As I said, we brought some of the smartest people in the social token space, along with some of these early creators that we've talked about here today, together to help other creators and communities launch successful social tokens. We run a cohort-based model. Applications for that cohort are closing really, really soon. I don't know when this is published, but ultimately we start again at the beginning or at the end of January. And you know, the best place, I guess, to stay up to date with us is cclub.xyz or cclubhq on Twitter. You'll also be able to find our Discord there, which is the place to go if you have specific questions, if you're a creator and thinking about how to take a first step into the space. If you land there, you will be in good company and we'll be able to direct you to the best resources and people that can help you do that. Yeah, guys, I really appreciate you leading this conversation. It's great. And I'm really, really looking forward to the Tom and Pierce token. I think we should make that happen and would encourage you both to apply to C Club.
Plus one, I'd say that anyone looking to make a social token, there's no better place to get started than Seed Club. So definitely check that out. For me personally, Web3 Creator Economy is where I'm spending all my time this year. My main gig's at Audius right now, which is a decentralized streaming protocol, working with a lot of social token communities and now getting into NFT collections. So if there's anything in the realm of consumer-facing crypto that you think is interesting, please reach out on Twitter. It's where I'm most active and I'd be happy to work together to figure out what works.
I'll give a plus one to people.
Awesome,
yeah. The best guy to talk to this space, super, seriously, for sure.
Yeah, no, super amp for Seed Club. Cooper, if you guys listening haven't checked out the episode with Cooper with Audius with Blau, check it out. And Pierce, thanks so much for co-hosting. Obviously, I'm biased. I'm a huge fan of your own podcast on here. So this has been awesome, guys. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks. Likewise. Thanks for having us.
Thanks, guys.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening to the podcast. If you enjoyed it, please support the show by hitting subscribe on iTunes, writing a review, or sharing this episode on Twitter and LinkedIn. And stay tuned for our next episode out soon. Mm-hmm.